Hello, friends and family. Welcome to the Educa DPS podcast. My name is Javier Ibarra, Senior Manager of Media and Public Relations for Denver Public Schools. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Heather Nielsen, who is the Chief Learning and Engagement Officer for the Denver Art Museum. Heather is here to share with us all about the activities the museum has to offer to our DPS students and community members this summer 2023. Heather, welcome to the Educa DPS podcast. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and tell us more about your role at the Denver Art Museum?
So I'm a teacher. I'm an educator, and that's what I do. I just do it in a museum and not in a school.
And I like that.
I've been at the Denver Art Museum for many, many years, and I'm now what's called the Chief Learning and Engagement Officer. So my job is to really think about how can a museum be a place of learning? How can it be a place that welcomes everyone? Mm-hmm. How can it be a place where families come spend time together? And so I have an incredible team of educators and artists who really try to make the museum a wonderful place to visit.
As a young student many moons ago, I was always excited to go to the art museum. I love how the building is oddly shaped. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I would always get really excited. And I remember one exhibit, which was from Egypt. For some reason, that really stood out to me. There was like art from Egypt. And I thought, wow, this is really cool.
It was a few years ago.
Yes.
And that was really a very popular exhibition. But I think that's what makes museums and art museums really special places, is that you can come and learn about the world. And you can also come and see your own worlds reflected back at you.
More about the art museum, I want to know, what are the art exhibits, and we talked about them a little bit, but what are the art exhibitions that museum visitors look forward to or can look forward to this summer?
Oh, I am so excited about this summer. So we have an exhibition opening called Desert Rider, Dreaming in Motion.
Okay.
And that is an exhibition about artists who are inspired and look at lowriders and skateboard culture.
Wow.
So it's an exhibition that's really celebrating the art of an artistry of skateboards, of lowriders, of indigenous and Latinx artists in particular in communities. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited about that exhibition. And then the other couple, we just opened our galleries of the Arts of Africa,
okay,
the Arts of Oceania, and our modern and contemporary galleries. And these are just really, you know, particularly Arts of Africa and Arts of Oceania, which are the Pacific Islands.
Uh-huh.
These are just important art forms because of the communities in Denver.
I'm really excited that you're here, because what you just gave us, I think, is gold, especially for our listeners, because we have an insider who is gonna tell us here today about these exhibits, about these exhibitions and more about the art, but from your lens, right? Kind of give us a preview of it, because I'm already getting pretty excited about the lowrider.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I really enjoyed lowriders, and that it's a subculture. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting that you mentioned the skateboarding as well, because I think that is also a subculture. Mm-hmm. For folks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting, we can think of them as subcultures. I also love to think about that these are art forms that exist in our community.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
In every community, right? Yeah. And I think that sometimes people think that if you go to an art museum, you're just going to see the classic paintings, or you're going to see a painting by Monet or a painting by Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm.
But art museums really need to be places that show the art forms that our communities,
yeah,
are doing. And so something like this exhibition, Desert Rider, is really saying these are artistic practices that are vibrant, that are powerful, and let's celebrate them, and let's create conversations around them, and let's bring them into the museum.
And when does that exhibition start? When can folks come and check this out?
So the exhibition opens on July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
This is a free day, so wow. It'll be free for everyone.
Everyone.
And as a way to celebrate, we're really putting on a block party. And we've partnered with our friends and community partners to bring a lowrider car show to the Denver Art Museum. Mm-hmm. So we're calling it a show and shine.
Okay.
And that will be part of the block party. So we're going to have lowriders, we're going to have food, we're going to have vendors. Mm-hmm. The museum's going to be open and free for everyone to come celebrate this amazing exhibition.
Wow. What an amazing event. I am looking forward to that. But I really want to encourage our families to get out there and check some of these out, which leads me to my next question. What about free for kids? What does that mean, and why is it so important for the museum and its visitors?
Yeah, that's partly why I'm just so grateful that you invited me here today, because we really do want to let everybody know, all of our families know, that the museum is free for kids. So any person 18 and under, so teenagers, our littlest kindergartners, everyone 18 and under is free at the museum. And this is every day of the year. And, you know, it's an important way for us to welcome all of our families to the museum and make it affordable, make it accessible. So I hope to see everyone on July 9th. But if that's not a good day, please think about the museum any day of the year.
I want to ask more about the summer programs. What about the summer programs and events for kids 18 and under does the museum have? What's available and how can people sign up?
Well, the first thing I will say is always go to our website.
Okay.
Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. These are the best ways to find out what's going on at the museum, what exhibitions are coming, what family events and programs are happening. Mm-hmm. So this summer, I talked about the Desert Rider Block Party on July 9th.
Yes.
But then later in the summer, as we kind of wind down the summer in September, we actually have our, we've been doing it for almost 30 years, is our powwow.
Okay.
We partner with the indigenous communities to bring a powwow to the Denver Art Museum. That's also a free day. There's dancing, there's food, there's vendors. And then also in September, we're doing a skateboard festival to really bring in artists who are skate deck artists. Yes. And celebrate them. So there's a couple of events that are happening. But the other thing I want to let people know is that any day you come into the museum, we have some incredible art making spaces that are always free and open to everyone inside the museum.
Hands-on
art making spaces.
Oh, okay.
So one of my favorites is called the Landscape Studio.
Okay.
And it's a place where you could come in and try your hand at ink brush painting and create a landscape inspired by Chinese and Japanese art forms.
Okay.
We also have artists who are in this space demonstrating for everyone on the weekends so that, you know, part of what we're trying to do is to demystify that art is only done by a certain kind of person.
Yes.
We're all artists.
Yes.
We're all creative. And so we really want our families, when they come to the museum, to be able to get their own hands dirty and to actually make artwork together. So check out the Landscape Studio. Check out our Creative Hub, where we have, it's another art-making space, where you can sit together and make collages. And then every gallery has games, art-making areas.
So you
things
just,
to take away.
You don't just walk through the museum, you interact with the museum.
I love the way you're saying that. Yes. I've been a museum educator for 20 plus years. And one of the things I say is we have been trained so well to think about museums as places where you have your hands behind your back. You don't talk.
Don't touch. Yeah.
You don't touch. But in fact, that is not what we are.
Right.
We're a place where you can come, be inspired, you can come get your hands dirty, you can make things together as a family, and I'm really proud of the museum that we've made ourselves that place.
Shifting gears here a little bit, I want to ask more about the museum teams, like the learning and engagement, who create the exhibitions and programs that make most of the educational moments and opportunities. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So, you know, as educators in a museum, we do, I would say, very similar to work what educators in a classroom do. You know, the first thing we do is we will do research and we'll understand what the art is about that we're putting on display. And then we'll work with our curators, we'll understand the stories we're trying to tell. And then we'll start to actually think about, well, how do I make a story about Japanese women artists mm-hmm. that are mostly unknown to our community?
Right.
How do we help families, grandparents, teenagers understand those stories? And so we then write labels and wall text that helps tell those stories.
Yes.
We create areas within the gallery that allow visitors to try their hand at, you know, making a like similar piece to what's a calligraphy piece to yeah. similar what's on the wall.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a process of thinking about what the story you're trying to tell mm-hmm. and then making a participatory hands-on moment to help visitors understand that story.
And that's really important for our students because to me, I see that as the enrichment piece of mm-hmm. education mm-hmm. where students, you can sit a student down and say, hey, this is how art is, this is what you can do with mm-hmm. it. But to get their hands moving and understanding, and they're like, oh, this is how the paintbrush works, this is how calligraphy works, like it's very different, I think is the enrichment part of the learning process.
I would 100% agree, and that's that sort of hands-on moment.
Mm-hmm.
I would also add that, you know, in this case, I'm talking about this exhibition we have right now mm-hmm. about Japanese women artists. You know, my hope too is that students and families start to see that what these women experienced 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do we think about that today, and how does that relate to our own lives?
Yeah.
You know, women who were perhaps not given a voice, but their voice became the marks they made
right.
on
right.
paper. And how does that translate today for a student or a family? And what kind of opportunity for a conversation can we have about that? And I think about Desert Rider with lowriders and skateboards. I mean, mm-hmm. there are probably so many of our visitors who come into the museum and see that exhibition
right.
probably know more about how
yes.
those things were made and used and
what's
what
under,
they mean about
hood,
it
yeah.
historically
mm-hmm.
probably know more than some of the people who work on the inside.
Right.
And, you know, part of being in a museum is hopefully that artwork that you see
mm-hmm.
also creates an opportunity for a parent to actually let their kid know, you know, I actually had a lowrider once,
right.
and this is kind of how it worked for me,
or culture.
I've been a skateboarder.
Right.
And, so that's also one of the things we think a lot about, is
yeah.
how can this artwork actually be a point of conversation and sharing
mm-hmm.
in the family across generations?
It sounds like you are really, and you and your team are really working to curate the art for the audience of our community here in Denver. With Denver Public Schools, we are very diverse, right? We're a very diverse
yep.
set of, from our students to our faculty and staff. How is culture and language nuances and differences taken into consideration when you start curating these exhibitions with the work that you're doing at the Denver Art Museum?
Yeah, the first thing I want everyone to know
mm-hmm.
is that the Denver Art Museum is fully bilingual Spanish. So
wow.
every gallery,
mm-hmm.
every label, every written word on the wall that helps explain the art,
yes.
everything is Spanish bilingual. And that is a commitment that we've made to our community, and
mm-hmm.
that's a commitment that when we just opened a year and a half ago our renovated galleries, that was when we came out with everything being Spanish bilingual. So that's the first thing I will say is
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we know that language matters. We want people to be able to also explore the museum and feel welcome and mm-hmm. do it in their own language. And so that is why Spanish is everywhere. You know, the other thing that we really work hard to do is that when we have certain and different types of exhibitions, we often do what are called focus groups, which people know about mm-hmm. out in the world. We'll do that with families. We'll do that with, you know, members for our recent Gallery of African Art. We mm-hmm. welcomed in, you know, community members from the different countries in Africa who mm-hmm. have recently come to Denver to help us understand how should we tell these stories? What's going to matter? So we do work really hard to try and actually truth check a lot of what we're doing with our families and with our different community members.
I really like that because it gives you the perspective from their point of view, but it also gives local perspective. What it's like to be someone from Africa in Denver, and this is how you are going to interpret it. Because it might be slightly different if it was just someone from that country looking at it. But from the lens perspective, it has a Denver tint, if you will.
Yeah, I love that. And I encourage everyone, mm-hmm. when you come to the museum mm-hmm. and you come to our Arts of Africa gallery, what you're going to notice is you're going to notice wall texts that are called community labels.
Oh.
And this is actually where we've invited our community to actually talk about the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the kinds of things you'll start to see at the museum when you come, that you'll start to see all of these different voices and perspectives intersect with the artwork.
What are some of the important factors that for your team that they look at when creating the educational activities and informational moments throughout the museum's exhibitions?
Yeah, I mean, the first one is this going to make sense? And that's often right. why, you know, educators get involved in the process, because we know you can talk about things in one way that doesn't make sense to anybody. Mm-hmm. It would be like me maybe going to a car mechanic, and I would probably not understand, you know, with the really complicated sort of way in which an expert may talk about it.
Sure,
so
sure.
We often think about, like, how do we actually talk about the artwork in a way that is going to make sense to people who may not necessarily be experts? So that's
sure.
that's really important. You know, and the other thing we think a lot about is what you and I have been talking about, is how can we create hands-on moments mm-hmm. so that people can try their own hand and they can engage physically with an artwork.
Right.
We think about how do we bring different voices in to interpreting. You know, there is not one way to interpret a work of art, nor do you actually have to have an art history degree to understand art. You
right.
know, art is what you think it is. It's how you feel about it. And so we also think a lot about how do we help visitors have their own opinions mm-hmm. about a work of art and tell us, which is also why you see lots of response areas around the museum where families can kind of tell us what they think about a work of art.
I want to go back to the Arts of Africa that you mentioned earlier. I know that the museum recently reopened the galleries for Arts of Africa and Arts of, and I'm going to mispronounce this word, Oceania.
Perfect.
Okay, all right. And modern contemporary art, can you tell us more about them and what it means for the museum and the visitors? I want to make sure that we give that the spotlight it deserves.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I'll take each of them independently. So, you know, Arts of Africa is a really important collection mm-hmm. for us and for the community. It's as you were saying, you know, our community is diverse. We have Denverites from all over the world, many of them from countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. And part of our role as an art museum is to reflect our community and is to show the arts that are global. And so opening this gallery is really important for our community who sees themselves in these art forms. The other thing I'll say is we think a lot about how to put together the historical and traditional art forms with the contemporary art forms.
Right.
So that you're not looking at people in the past, but mm-hmm. you're looking at them in the present and in the future.
Sure.
So that is one thing that both the Arts of Africa, Arts of Oceania, and our modern and contemporary collections do really well, is that they actually give people an opportunity to have conversations about, you know, contemporary relevant issues, whether it be, you know, immigration, whether it be global warming, whether it be climate change.
Hot topics.
You know, all of these topics are explored in all three of these galleries.
I'm really in amazement right now, because all I want to do now is go to the art museum for the rest of the day.
Great.
And check all of this
then
out.
I've done my job.
Yes, you did. Before I ask my last question, earlier before we started the show, we were talking about, I wouldn't say call it equity, but it's around equity, and it's around parking.
Important.
Tell me about the parking situation at the museum.
Yeah, so we are located downtown. Mm-hmm. We're located right next to the central branch of the public library and pretty much across the street from History Colorado. So mm-hmm. there's a nice community of cultural organizations to visit when you come down.
Mm-hmm.
Parking, we do have a parking garage that is right in front of the art museum.
Perfect.
We do have meters around. Sundays, the meters are free. So that's always a good thing to know.
Yes.
And then there are some parking lots as well. Mm-hmm. So those are the three best ways. The other thing I'll say is, for those who are bus riders, there is an RTD stop really close to the museum, right on Broadway and 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great way if you are like the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you bicycle, we've got lots of bicycle racks. So that's yet one other way to visit.
So everything short of a helicopter, you can accommodate.
Yes, no helicopters or boats.
I'm glad we talked about this. Oh, boats. Yeah, there's no water.
Yeah, there's no water.
I'm glad we talked about this, because I think one of the barriers for me, and I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of our families, is downtown is a hectic place.
Yep.
And if I don't have a sure place to park or a sure way to get there, it's probably going to be a barrier for me. So if we can knock those barriers down or provide people with the information on how to do it, I think is really important. And that's the equity piece of what we were talking about before we started the show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We know that coming downtown, you know, it can be, it can also be overwhelming. It can be, where do I park? Where do I eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are important. And so we do have a lot of information on our website. So we do make sure that we have a kind of how to visit button where we talk about parking, where we talk about if anybody has accessibility needs.
Sure. What kind of food or drink is allowed in the museum?
Food and drink, what we have, where you can eat, strollers if you're coming with little people. We do have strollers. If you're coming with people that need a wheelchair, we have wheelchairs.
You can provide that.
So we really, and you know, we also do special programs if there are families who have neurodiverse needs. So we actually have a program called Sensory Friendly Mornings, where we open early. It's free, and we welcome in our community members and families who just might need a little bit more sort of peace and quiet to navigate the museum.
Yes.
So that's also a good thing to just look out for on our website.
And can you tell us what that website is?
www.denverartmuseum.org.
I want to thank you for coming onto the show, but I have one last question. Is there anything that you'd like to add or mention that we didn't discuss? Very high level, but I want to really give you the opportunity to mention anything that you think is important our families know.
I just want to see families at the art museum, so I'm really looking forward to see everyone come down and visit us. Check us out on the website. We're free, and I just really look forward to all the kids and grandparents and parents who come down.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us here today, because I think this is important for our families that are looking for ways to entertain but also educate their students throughout the summer. And if you could go to the museum for free, that's a huge help, I think, to our families and to our students, which is the goal of what we do here. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This concludes our Educa DPS podcast for today. I do want to mention that for more information on the DPS summer programs, you can visit dpsk12.org/summer-programs. I want to ask huge favor if you can help us share this content with families, friends, and other community members. And remember, for more Educa content and other stories, visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Denver Public Schools Plus, or listen to us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. It's important to give credit where credit is due and to the people that make this production happen. So we want to start off by thanking our executive director, Will Jones, our director of external communications, Scott Pribble, our director of internal communications, Selena Nakamura, our executive producer and videographer of this platform and all the others, Don Pierce, our multimedia lead producer and the host of the Spanish Educa, Beto Gaitan, our guru of social media, Hannah Young, our bond and mill levy communication specialist, George Alexander, and our strategic communication specialist, Trey Hill. Our graphic designer of this graphic and all the others, April Spites, and a special shout out to our DPS educators, students, and parents. Big thank you to Dr. Alex Marrero, proud superintendent of Denver Public Schools, for supporting the Educa and all other platforms, and yours truly, Javier Ibarra, senior manager of media and public relations, as well as the Educa host in English. Please remember to tell your children more often, and I want to ask you to say this with me, I believe in you, and I know you can do it. Until next time.